American Heritage Dictionary defines habit as this: a recurrent, often unconscious pattern of behavior that is acquired through frequent repetition. Someone anonymously said, habits are thoughts that produce acts, acts produce habits, and habits produce character. I would add that habits create momentum. We've been talking about momentum as the theme of this series, three sermons that's preparing us for the new year. And so next Sunday will be that last sermon as we look to the state of the church message and really kind of where our church is going. Celebrate the wins that we've experienced this past year as well. But momentum, habits create momentum. Now, there are good habits and bad habits. And so we can have momentum that's going in the wrong direction or momentum that's going in the right direction. If you're in business, you understand what that means, that there are habits that you have in your industry, in your business, that creates momentum for you. It creates synergy. And so you work those habits. Those are good habits. When you have bad habits in business, it leads to dysfunction. It leads to momentum going in the wrong direction. It can happen in a church where a church loses its momentum. And I've experienced that once, and I don't want to experience it again. In fact, I'll speak to that next Sunday, of one of the ways in which a church can lose its momentum. And so I believe our church has momentum, just so you'll know. I think we're moving in the right direction. I think there are good habits that we have created, good systems in place that we operate under. And I mean that from a spiritual standpoint, not just a logistical standpoint. That's creating positive momentum. Now, some of you here today would say, you know, I don't feel like my momentum's going in the right direction. Because you know in business that if you lose momentum, if you know in a church, that it's very hard to recreate momentum. In fact, I remember after spring training, our coach would say to us, stay in shape over the summer. It takes 6 weeks to get in shape. It takes about 2 weeks to get out of shape. And so you don't want to arrive at school on the first day for practice and you're out of shape, because it's going to take you half the season to get where you ought to be. So we want to try to create good habits and maintain those habits so that we're experiencing God's momentum in our life. I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to talk about how we are able to create momentum by experiencing something new in 2022. I want us to talk about and think about from God's Word some good habits that are going to help you create momentum in your life spiritually. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, the church that was going through a lot of problems. I'll address and identify some of those in just a few moments. But he gives this great word of encouragement to the church as they're going through all the old stuff, and he's trying to help them look to the future, trying to create positive momentum for this church. They'd lost their momentum. He says in verse 17 of chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Look, new things have come. Notice he doesn't say will come. They have come. Now, if everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I added that last verse there because it really reemphasizes what he's talking about, that the new life that we have in Christ comes from him. Now, with that, there are several new habits, new things that I want to encourage you to experience this coming year, 2022, that will help you, it'll help your family, it'll help our community, it'll help our nation. If we apply these principles from God's Word, number one, a new relationship. For some of you, you need a new relationship. In verse 17, he talks about if you are in Christ, that what we want to experience that is new comes to us if we are in Christ. Now, it means many things, but it primarily means that we have a new relationship with Him. It means that we belong to Christ. If I am in Christ, in the book of Colossians, the letter to the church at Colossae, Paul talks a lot about being in Christ. It means that we belong to Him. That word in Christ also means that I'm in the sphere of Christ's power. I'm in the sphere of His influence. So we all want that positive influence, that positive momentum of Christ in our life. One day we had a guy show up at the office, and the secretary or the receptionist said that somebody up here wants to see you, and so I came up. I might have shared this, but there's another part of the piece I want to share with you that this guy said, "But I just moved here. I want to come to your church, been here, visited, want to know a little bit about the church." And I said, "Well, where are you from?" And he said, "Well, I'm from Dallas, Texas." And I said, "Oh, that's great." I said, "My dad is the interim pastor at First Baptist Dallas." He said, "For the last 2 years, I've been putting the mic on your dad. I'm the sound guy at First Baptist Dallas, and it's no small operation there." And so we had a great visit. Henry Ferris, who's our sound engineer here now, and helps us in that realm. But this morning, we were talking before the service. And I walked in, and we were talking about the game last night, how Baylor had won in the Sugar Bowl. And I said, "Well," I said, "Baylor's played in three Sugar Bowls. The first one is in January of 57, 65 years ago. And the starting tight end and defensive end was my dad, who played in that game." And Henry said this. He said, "Man, I just love being around your dad. I just love being around him." And it's this idea of being around that influence, being around that positive, we would say positive energy. Now, of course, we understand it as being the power of Christ, that we want to be around in the sphere of where Christ is operating. Listen, that's where the blessing is for your life. That's where God is operating, is through Christ. And that's why we want to be in Christ, in that sphere of influence, being around that power. It also means in Christ that we are united with Christ and His mission. Now, not only are we in a relationship with Christ, but we have partnered with Him in His missions, and we're all connected to that mission. And what's the mission? Well, it's what Jesus said to His disciples, the Great Commission, that was to them and to us, that we're to be making disciples. That means we share the gospel of Christ with others, and then we are entering into a relationship with them to help them grow in understanding what it means to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Now, all of us ought to be connecting with people on that level, that we're trying to reach our community for Christ, introduce the gospel to them, and then help them understand what it means to know Christ, to belong to Christ. That's what we're trying to do in our church. And we're putting more and more emphasis on this idea of discipling new believers, of helping them know Christ and the power that is available to them. If we're in this sphere of power, if we're in Christ, well, how do I apply that? How does that transform my life? Notice also we're part of the body of Christ when we say we are in Christ. Yeah, you know, again, I've had the privilege of traveling really all over the world, primarily to do mission work. And I can be in a room with somebody from another country. I cannot speak their language. They cannot speak mine. But there is an instant love for that person, an instant bond with that person, because both of us are in Christ. It's the thread that runs between our souls that binds us together. So that's true in this room today. If you are in Christ, if you have a relationship with Christ, committed follower, that everybody in this room is connected with each other. And that's the beauty of the church. All walks of life. I mean, look around. You know, I mean, there's all different kinds of people who come from different places of life, experiences in life. But there's a commonality that we have. There's a common love, a common bond that we have where we can help one another and serve one another. So my question to you this morning is, do you need a new relationship? Do you need the right relationship, the perfect relationship? You may be in a relationship that's imperfect. If it's a human, all human relationships are imperfect to a degree. But you can have a relationship with somebody who will love you unconditionally and is going to minister to you and help you in this life. Also, this means a new habit, create momentum. How do we do that? Is with a new life. Not just a new relationship, but a new life. Notice he says in verse 17, a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Not a repaired life, but a new life. That means that you have a new perspective. I think one of the hardest things it is for a Christian to develop in his Christian life is trying to understand God's perspective about the circumstance that they're in. It's taking the high road, not the low road. It's seeing life through the lens of Christ, of this new life that I have. I don't respond like the old man responded, the old life. I respond in a different way. And I tell you, that's one of the greatest testimonies. How do I know that a person is truly transformed by the power of Christ, that they really are a genuine Christian? Well, one of the ways is the way in which they respond to the problems of life. In the old life, they responded one way, but now they're responding differently. They're thinking differently. They see it differently. They still struggle in it. It's still difficult to understand it fully, but they're trying to get God's perspective about the issue. You think of the old person. He's saying the old things have passed away. The old value system. The old character. The old thoughts. The old way of doing things. Those have passed away because now there's something new that you have. Now, what does he mean by new? Well, first of all, he's fulfilling a prophecy of Isaiah 43:19, where God says through the prophet, I am doing a new thing. In that context, God was saying to the children of Israel, something that is greater than the Exodus, something that is greater than leaving Babylon and returning back to Jerusalem. It is being delivered from the bondage of sin. And so we are able to have a new life in Christ, a new life. So he also gives us a new provider, a new provider. Verse 18, now everything is from God. Notice God took the initiative. God acted through Christ's death. And that's the only way that we're able to be reconciled to God. It is through Christ by God. And the issue is trust. That's what we're talking about when we say a new provider. So you need to ask yourself, what have I been trusting in to satisfy the needs of my life? What do I think I need that's going to solve the problems in my life? I need more of this. I need more of this. I need this in my life. I need something new in my life. What is that new? That you need a new provider. You've been trusting in self. You've been trusting in other people. You've been trusting in other things. You're hoping for these things to change in your life so that that will bring fulfillment. Some of those things may never change. So then what? You may have some things in your life that will never change circumstantially. But how you get through that, how you deal with that, how you move past it, you need a new provider. And you need that to be God through Jesus Christ. So who are you trusting in? You can have a new provider. But notice also a new ministry. This is a good habit that creates momentum in your life. Verse 18, Paul says, God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice again that God initiates reconciliation. In verse 18, everything is from God who reconciled us to himself. So he turned the light on, we responded to him, we were reconciled with God. That means, okay, if we were reconciled, it means there was a problem beforehand. We were separated from him, and we were because of our sin. And the only way that we're able to be reconciled is what he did for us. Christ alone, notice, is the means of reconciliation. Verse 18, through Christ. Verse 19, in Christ. Then we accept this reconciliation with God. He says in verse 19, we are reconciled us to him. So there's something on our part we have to do. We have to receive by faith the forgiveness that he is offering us so that we can be reconciled with God. But also we are reconciled with others. Here he says he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now again, the context is that Paul was attempting to try to help those in the church be reconciled with each other and with God, and that Paul needed to be reconciled with the Corinthians as well. So the ministry that God has called us to is about God and about others. And it's more than witnessing. It's more than witnessing. It's about getting into the mess of humanity. It's about helping people where they are. And most people are not in a good place, especially spiritually. And so we're trying to connect with them, engage, that's the word that we use here. We engage with others so that we're able to understand where they are. And that's what Jesus did. You know, again, Jesus was the master fisherman. He didn't use the same bait with every fish. He understood where they were in life, and he spoke at the point of their need. And it is with that bait, often parables that he told, that drew that person to himself and into a relationship with God. So it's understanding people, it's connecting with them and understanding what's happened in their life so that I can connect the gospel to them, whatever it is that's happened in their life. It is bringing order out of the chaos in their lives. You ever feel that inside is just chaotic? There's no peace, you're not settled. Well, if we're in Christ, if we have this new life in Christ, he brings order to our soul, and he can bring order to life. Again, it's getting his perspective about it. Often it's reconciliation out of estrangement. It's not always possible. It's always important to say that we're always to forgive, and it's always possible to forgive. Listen, hear that. It's always possible to forgive. You can forgive through Christ. It's not always possible to reconcile with that other person. We need to attempt to do that, but it takes two parties to make that reconciliation happen. You can forgive, but I try to reconcile. And I'm also able to love instead of hate another person. That's what it means to be reconciled. We are loving others. Now, Paul did this with the Corinthians. He got into the mess of their church. And it's good to go back and read the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter especially, where he addresses problems. Let me just give you a few of the problems that were there. There was jealousy among Christian leaders. Paul says that some of you say, well, I follow Cephas, that's Peter. I follow Apollos, I follow Paul. And Paul says, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. You know, he said, it's not about me or Apollos or Cephas, it's about Christ. So there was jealousy, and there was factions in the church that one was following one guy and another following. This is who I like to listen to preach. This is who I like to listen to preach, you know, whatever else it may be. This is how I like this person does ministry. I like how this person does ministry. Well, we got 1,300 people who are members of our church who all have opinions about what we ought to do and people that they like to listen to or follow or learn how to do things or whatever else. Well, ultimately, we've got to come to a common bond that is in Christ on how we do what we do. And that's what Paul's trying to help them see. It's not following particular spiritual leaders. It is following Christ. They can have a positive influence in your life, but ultimately, we've got to get the mind of God about what we ought to be doing and follow his direction for ourselves individually, for the church as well. There were lawsuits in the church by wealthy members against those who were poor members in the church. And Paul says, don't go to court over that. That the church ought to be able to reconcile their problems within the church. Today, that would mean try to find a Christian arbitrator or mediator in order to solve legal problems. And because he says, don't take another brother to court. Culture is different, context is different to a degree. Sometimes we have to use the court in order to have some particular problems resolved because of the way the legal system is today versus it was then. But our goal, if at all possible, ought to be don't go to court because it affects our witness in the community when that happens. Sometimes necessary, but try to avoid that. There were conflicts in marriages, so Paul, within the church, and Paul says, all right, here's how your marriage ought to operate. Here are the roles. Here's a very important point. There was the problem of new Christians who were coming out of an idolatrous culture. And Paul says, in essence, I have the right to do this, but it's not right to do it because it's going to hurt this weaker brother who's trying to live a Christian life. And if I do this, it may lead him back into a life of sin because that particular thing is going to affect his spiritual life. Now, that's a very good word for us today, that, you know, we always feel like, well, if I have the right to do it, then I should do it. No, that's not true. Just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. That I need to be discerning. How is this going to affect others around me? And probably most Christians in this room have chosen to avoid some things, not doing some things, not acting in some ways, not saying certain things around certain people so that I don't hurt them in their spiritual walk. We're all trying to help build up each other in the body of Christ, Paul says. Edify one another, build each other up, encourage them. So I don't want to say or do anything that's going to discourage a Christian. So Paul is trying to help them in the church, saying, look, you can't do these things because it's going to affect their spiritual life. He rebukes the congregation in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 particularly, or prior to that, for their abuse of the Lord's Supper. It was more of a party. And there were those who were being disrespected, and those who were put in positions of elevation, that were exalted, that were honored. And so, look, he's saying, well, we're all equal at the foot of the cross. We don't play favorites. So that we are all able to be a church that is unified. Then there was a guy in the church who had hurt the church and hurt people in the church. He had lived a life of sin and had repented of his sin. When there were those in the church that were having a hard time bringing this guy back into the fold because of what he had done. And Paul says you need to forgive the offender. You need to restore him back into the life of the church. Now, this is a very important word again for the church. That the whole point is the repentant. Is this person repentant? What's their attitude concerning repentance? They not just say, I'm sorry, but are they truly repentant of their sin? Is there evidence that they have changed so that they can be restored back into the life of the church? So what does Paul do? Paul confronts lovingly but directly. He says, look, I'm not going to avoid the problem. Here's the problem in your church, and here's how it needs to be resolved. But he does it in a loving way. Now, in this, he says, so that's the ministry of reconciliation. And all of us are involved in that. And we are ambassadors for Christ. This is the job that we're doing. And why are we doing it? Because we are his ambassador. Now, this word was used often in this day and time. And what does that mean? It means that this was a spokesperson. That means the ambassador went where he was sent. He didn't just have a choice. That he did not speak on his own behalf. That he represented the one who he was under the authority. So if it was a Roman ambassador, he was representing Rome. He was representing the emperor. And so we have ambassadors here who represent the United States. They represent our president. They speak on behalf of our nation. They represent us, and they help us as citizens when we're in those countries. A lot to that. But here's the point, that the ambassador often was sent to build a relationship with another country for the purpose of trying to bring that country into the Roman Empire. There were two types of provinces in the Roman Empire. There were those that were controlled by the Senate and those that were controlled by the emperor. If it was controlled by the Senate, those nations were peaceful nations. No troops were sent there. If they were under the Roman control, the emperor's control, the imperial control, then troops were sent. It was a hostile environment. It often included violence to bring that nation or that territory under control. When the Senate believed that it was appropriate to bring a country under the Roman rule, bring it into the empire, they would send 10 ambassadors to that country. And they would call them ambassadors, these 10 senators. And so they would come and they would bring the terms of the Constitution to bring them. They would say, here are the rules. If you're going to come into under our Roman rule, then you're going to follow these rules. These are the terms of agreement. And then they were invited, that nation was invited to be brought into the family of the empire. So when Paul uses this word ambassador, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Because he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. So Paul is saying, I have brought the terms of agreement for you to have a relationship with God. And here's what God says. This is the gospel. And you come into this agreement through Christ. And once that happens, you're invited into God's family of rule, into God's kingdom, God's empire. So when he says we are ambassadors for Christ, he's speaking to every one of us who are in Christ. Look, Christianity is not just about us coming here and having a feel good on Sunday and going home. That's not Christianity. It's engaging all people to experience the Christ and equip them for life. We're helping them trying to be reconciled with God. That we're sharing the message of the gospel. Here are his terms in order for you to have a relationship with God. But when that happens, you're brought into our family. And here are all the benefits of being in God's kingdom that are ever going to help you. And this is what is new that is going to help you. And so we are all ambassadors. That's the assignment. That's the job that God has given us. Notice verse 20. We have this ministry of reconciliation, and then he pleads, be reconciled to God. They were not fully reconciled to God. They didn't understand this. So he says, you need to get things right with God. Because if you're right with God, then all these other problems in your church are going to work out. If you're right with God, the problems internally are going to work out. If you're right with God, things in your home are going to work out. They may not get perfect, and some things may not change, but you'll know how to get through it. You'll experience the grace and the peace of God when that happens. So you're a Christ ambassador and have been charged with that ministry of reconciliation. It's a great privilege. It's a great responsibility that we have. Think of that. You are his ambassador. You represent him. You don't represent yourself. I don't represent myself as a Christian. That's over. I represent Christ. So everything I say and do, I'm acting on his behalf. So that's what people need to see in our lives, so that they can be reconciled with God. So you need something new in 2022. A new relationship. A new life. A new provider, a new ministry. Let's build the right kind of momentum this coming year. Now, how do you do that? Well, number one, give your life to Christ. If you've not done that today, if you don't have a relationship with God, that happens by repenting of your sin, turning from your way, turning from sin, and turning to Christ alone for your salvation, recognizing that he died on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin, and providing a way for you to be reconciled with God. Secondly, make new relationships this coming year. This may be just the one step some of you need to take. You're in some relationships that aren't healthy. I think I've shared before, when we moved to Clearwater, Florida, I was a junior in high school, and my dad had us, and I sat down and said, look, there's some things you can change. You can change habits. You can change relationships. You can do something new with this move. And boy, I took that to heart. There are just a few things that I felt like that I knew at the time that needed to change. And nobody knew me in Florida, so I could reinvent myself. And so with Christ, you have this new life, and you have new relationships that God wants you to experience that are believers in Christ. We need to be connected with those who are not in Christ. We don't cut them off, but we look at that relationship differently now, don't we? We don't allow that relationship to influence us. We influence them. Now, if you can't do that, you do need to separate from that relationship. Please hear that, young people. If you're in a relationship and that relationship is influencing you with habits that are creating momentum in the wrong direction, you need to cut that off. But you want to stay connected with those who are not believers, obviously, so that we're able to help them know God and influence them, experience momentum in the right direction. Start new habits. We talked earlier about a new reading plan where you can read God's Word on a daily basis. Maybe you know you should do that and you're not into God's Word. That's the way in which we're able to really understand God and know God and experience God. And the power of Christ in our lives is through the Word. And so that's one way. I'm going to talk about another habit next Sunday that I think is very important for us. And it was a research study I just read about a particular habit we need in our lives as Christians. Trust God as your provider. Who are you trusting in? Stop trusting in those that are going to fail you or those things that will never satisfy. Genesis 22, read the story, and you'll understand what I mean by God being your provider. It's a great story. Then, start serving. Do something new in 2022. Get involved in the ministry of reconciliation. And we have different ways in which you can connect here, get involved, serve, and be a witness to those outside our community, outside our church, helping them understand who Christ is and how they can know Him. Look, I believe God's got great things that He wants to do. God's a great God, and He's got a great plan. It's the right plan. It's the perfect plan. And God wants to use this church, which means He wants to use you, to experience something new in 2022. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? There might be somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I've not given my heart to Christ. I don't have a relationship with God, but I desire that. I know that I need that in my life. Look, there's no better day than the first Sunday of a new year to experience a new life in Christ. A new life you can have where you can be forgiven of the past. You won't be held accountable for that in Christ. That there's no guilt or no shame. All that can go. And you have a great future, a new life that God has for you. And so we want you today to give your heart to Christ. As Paul said, I plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. There might be others who know the Lord, but you would say, Pastor, there are some bad habits where I've got momentum, but it's going in the wrong direction. I need to change those habits. I need to create momentum in the right direction. Ask God to help you do that. He has the power to do it. He's waiting for you to humble yourself and surrender that to Him and allowing Him to take over. He'll do that. He'll make that happen. As I said before, it's not just trying harder. It's dying to an old life and letting Him bring a new life into your life. There might be others that God is leading you to become part of our church family. Again, not a perfect church because of imperfect people. But we love God, we love each other, and we want you to experience the full life that God has for you. But you'll miss out on that if you're not connected to a local church. Again, no better day than the first Sunday of a new year, a new commitment you can make to be part of God's family. There might be others that you need to come and pray here at the front, alone before the Lord. There might be others who want someone to pray for you, then we'll do that as well. Father, thank You for Your faithfulness to Your Word. And God, I thank You that You're a God who does new things in our lives. It really is a great thing. It's a great thought. It's a great experience to know that I'm able to experience something new. And that happens every day. There's something new that You want me to experience every single day. Your mercies are new every morning. We thank You. We praise You for Your faithfulness. Help these now who need to make commitments. In Christ's name, amen.